before. Today is the beginning of Black History Month, and I've been preaching the five sermons of Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew. I'm not stopping what God told me to do, to do a Black History Month sermon, but there's something in here that connects us to Black History Month. Black History Month to take on a whole new meaning this year. You know, my children, your children, you know, they have seen a Black president. They have now seen an African-American female vice president. They don't know the struggle we've seen, amen? They might come to think it's common, amen? And I know Sister Kamala just tied, will vote. When the vote is tied, the vice president has a tiebreaker. She broke her first tie for the Democrats this week. And again, like I said, it's a Black woman now that has the most powerful vote in the country. They were the last persons, the last group of people to get the vote. Now, sisters have the most powerful vote in the country. The Bible tells us that the last will be first, and the first will be last. And now, those who got the vote last have the most important vote in this country. If your hands are not hurt, please give God praise for that powerful moment. Since it's Black History Month, let me talk about one of the most important figures in Black History Month. But we are not told in our history about all the wonderful things that African Americans have created. And of course, many Caucasians have taken credit for the inventions of African Americans, including the cotton gin, including the stoplight, even an African American sister. Somebody knows her name, Kizzy. We can call about her first name. I think that's her name who discovered the vaccine was on the vaccine committee. And so we want to give credit to George Washington Carver. You've most likely heard of George Washington Carver. He was an agricultural scientist and inventor who developed hundreds of products using peanuts. Though not peanut butter, as we want to claim, Mean Jiffy. But he used peanuts and sweet potatoes and soybeans to make various products. Born into slavery a year before it was outlawed, Carver left home at a young age to pursue education and would eventually earn a master's degree in agricultural science from Iowa State University, where my godson Trey Jackson played basketball. And he would go on to teach and conduct research at Tuskegee University for decades, and soon after his death, his childhood home would be named a national monument. And sorry, you're missing the last lines. The first of its kind, his home was the first national monument of any African American. So today, we celebrate the life, the history, and the legacy of George Washington Carver, who used a field to bless a nation. And that's what I want to talk about this Sunday morning. Matthew 13, verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found it, he hid it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. George Washington Carver found treasure in fields. That which when a man hath found it, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I want to talk very quickly this Sunday morning about a field of dreams. A field of dreams. We've been building. You've been paying attention. Jesus, in chapter 13, through the gift of parables, been building, using fields, harvests, and agriculture as themes to suggest to us not only what the kingdom of heaven is like, but rules and regulations and ways by which we can get into the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go through all this hell I'm heaven, of course, is a prepared place made for prepared people. And in chapter 13, Sister Lakin, he helps prepare us for how to get into the kingdom, and more importantly, how to act in the kingdom. He says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field. And I want you to notice, prelude, that in chapter 13, he keeps going from large things to small things back to large things. He starts talking about throwing seeds in a field. That's a large thing. Then he just starts talking about a mustard seed, which is a small thing. And then he goes back again into a whole field, which is another large thing. He wants us to know that it does not matter where you start, it does not matter how big you feel about yourself, even though you might feel yourself being small and non-important, because you are a child of God, you are a large thing. And you need to stop having self-pity. You need to stop having low self-esteem. You need to stop blaming your parents and blaming your little town that didn't even have a stoplight, no McDonald's, no KFC, and the IGA. Stop blaming because you came from small things that you can't be large. Amen. He keeps going from small to large, large to small, and back to large. He says that a man found treasure in this field, and he found the treasure, and the first thing that he did was hid the treasure. I want you to know, because based upon the last sentence, that obviously the field did not belong to him. The field did not belong to him because you don't buy something that you already own. I know y'all smart, so I didn't have to tell y'all that. He finds treasure in a field that does not belong to him. But notice, unlike you and your cousins, he don't steal the treasure. He finds something. And the Bible says that when he finds it, he hides it. And the first thing I want you to notice in this text, that he is grateful for finding the treasure. He says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a field healed in the field that which a man findeth, he hideth. He finds treasure hid in a field. And I will argue unto you that every one of us has some type of treasure. You might not have as much as your neighbor, but you don't know what your neighbor has to do to water and fertilize it. And you also don't know if your neighbor's purse is fake or not. You need to be grateful for what you got. Your Corolla is paid for. Your trailer is paid for. Somebody got right now a big old Range Rover in front of an apartment. You need to be grateful for the treasure that God has given you. This man was just grateful that he found treasure in a field. And again, let me press this claim again. He didn't steal the treasure like you would have done. But he thanks God that God just allowed him to find it. And one of the things that I pray, and I got to move, is that you find your purpose in life, because that really is your treasure in life. But your purpose in your life will then for develop your treasure in life. I feel sorry for anybody who works on a job that they don't like, because they're not in their purpose, and because they're not in their purpose, they're not going to do a good job. And if they don't do a good job, they're not going to get a promotion. If they ain't going to get a promotion, they ain't going to get no more treasure. Do I need to say that one more again? I feel sorry for anyone who does not have passion in what they're doing. You need to find your passion, and if you find your passion, you will find a job that will give you treasure for being in the will of God. Then, after you find yourself grateful, this man becomes joyful because he found it. And he said, and for the joy thereof, he did not yet own the land or the treasure. I really want to talk about the pot and the window, but that, you know, can get a little, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. He ain't had none of them. What he did have was joy, because God showed him something. Ain't nobody want to help me this morning. You know, But the Lord woke me up early the other morning. I mean, early. 5 a.m. And the only person else I know of besides Jesus at 5 a.m. is Erica Lakin. And I said, Erica Lakin, why are you, and then y'all got to understand, being in the spirit now, being in the spirit, not in the carnal. I said, Erica Lakin, why are you dreaming about me right now? Because the only reason I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning is because you have been dreaming about me. And now I got to wake up and write a sermon. Am I right about it? I said, because you're the only one else I know up at 5 a.m. unless you're a nurse, all right? She'd be waking up all hours and you get 4 a.m. texts from Erica Lakin. Go to sleep, girl. But he was joyful because he found something that he did not yet have. All right? He found something. I found something at 5 a.m. that morning that I did not yet have. And what the Bible is trying to teach you right now, you need to learn how to get a yet praise on. You might not have it right now, but you need to know that God has treasure hidden for you somewhere. And when God reveals unto you where it is, you need to give God. Somebody help me there right now. You need to be able to give God the praise for what you found. You might not yet have it in your hands, but can somebody just give God praise for what he's about to do in 2021, what he's about to do in March, what he's about to do in April. It might not be happening right now in February. You might not have no Valentine, but let me put a little quarter in the meter and let some woman right now tell somebody, don't tell nobody about the first date. Do not go around bragging about your first date with your new friend because it might not be no second. See, some of y'all go around bragging and telling everybody what the Lord done did and you ain't made the second payment on the car and now we wonder where the car at. This man just gave God joy for what he found, not what he had. Can somebody just give God praise for what he found and what he had? And what he did was he gave God the praise. He didn't call his brothers. He didn't call his fraternity brothers. He didn't call his sisters and say, I got something new. He gave God the praise. And when God shows you something in your life, don't be bragging and telling other people about it until you tell God first. I need some first God witnesses right now that I've got to tell God thank you first before I tell anybody else because I don't know yet. Hey! You can't have peace with another man's treasure. Let me put another, can I get another quarter? I'm going to get a little deep. Don't get a little too deep. If you're number two, and you get messy to get number one out the way, don't you know if you were number two, and you move out number one, somebody else gonna replace you as number two. You got to know what God has for you, and what God has for you is for you. And don't you go looking for and claiming nothing that don't belong to you. This man said, this is God's treasure. This is God's land, and I'm gonna wait. Anybody gonna wait? I'm gonna wait till it's right. It ain't right now, and I'm not settling for less. Two more minutes. He's grateful. He's joyful. And then third and finally, he's resourceful. He grateful. He joyful. He resourceful. He had nothing in the beginning of the text. Because he found something that he did not have. If he had it, he wouldn't have to buy it. Y'all smart. Y'all intimidated. But he was resourceful enough. JW, I ain't gonna say your whole name. He was resourceful enough to find, mother, what he needed to buy the land. He wasn't gonna circumvent the system by claiming he was over 65, claiming he was a doctor, claiming he was a nurse, claiming he was on the front line. To get the vaccine first. Your vaccine probably ain't gonna work. If you done lied and manipulated the system.
But he was resourceful enough to first give God the praise, and then God gave him a plan. I wish I had a few little witnesses under here that knows that if you give God the praise, God will give you the plan. And I don't know how he found the money. I don't know where he got the money. I don't know what he sold. I don't know. I know he sold it all. And that's one of the questions I need to ask you. How much are you willing to sacrifice? How much are you willing to give? How much are you willing to do to get what God has for you? How much are you willing to sacrifice? How much are you willing to sell of yourself and give up of yourself so that you can have all the resources to have what God has for you? He's resourceful enough to get whatever it took to buy the land, because he understood if he bought the land, he got the treasure that was already in the land. See, God ain't just going to give you a piece of blessing. God going to give you the whole thing. He understood that he just didn't want to dig up the treasure. He understood that he needed the whole land. Because back in this day, land ownership meant everything. Even back in the days when America and the colonies started, you had land rights and property rights. That's why you got to own something. Right? I know you're struggling, but as soon as you can, stop renting and get your mortgage so you can get your tax refund. You don't spend more in taxes. You could have all that back in your tax refund if you just had a mortgage. Why are you renting real? Why are you renting an 80-inch television with a 40-inch wall? He was resourceful enough because he understood what God had showed him and what God was preparing for him. He gave him the resources to buy the land, and once he bought the land, Cliff, he got everything else that was on the land. But he had to make a sacrifice. And that's the problem with a whole lot of us. We don't want to use and have anything that it takes work to get. And y'all said no by now. Anything that comes easy ain't worth having. And once he got the land, he got the treasure that he found. I believe that all of us have treasure. I believe that God has blessed each one of us with treasure. And I'm not talking about in just material things, but your purpose, again, will help you find a plan to get all the things that makes life comfortable for you. See, what makes me comfortable don't make you comfortable. And what makes you comfortable don't make me comfortable. So ain't no need for me to be worried about what makes you comfortable, because that ain't none of my business. And I don't know if you're still paying for it or not. But this guy in the text sold everything he had so he could buy the land so that he could have everything that God wanted. Leave you with a story that you might have heard before about this man who died without a family. Well, he had a family, but his wife died. His son died in the Gulf War. And he left a multi-millionaire. Not Bezos from Amazon, but almost there. He had the world's greatest art collection ever made. Picasso's, Rembrandt, Michelangelo. He had all the greatest stuff that he had borrowed, well, they rented at least to the Louvre in Paris so they could show the finest artwork. He had houses all across the world. He had Ferraris. He had Lamborghinis. He had all this stuff, but he left without a wife and without a son because the son died in the Gulf War. He told his lawyer when he died he wanted to auction off all of his property and donate it to different charities. But he said that before you start this auction, there is one requirement. My son took a portrait in his Marine uniform before he went to the Gulf War. And I want you to begin the auction with the selling of the picture of my son. And so the auctioneer began the auction, and he brought out the man's son in his military uniform, his service uniform, and he says, "We're going to start off the bid at $100 for a picture of the man's son." Now, not one person put up their paddle. He said, "Can I get $50 for the picture of the man's son?" Not one person put up a paddle. He said, "Can I get $40 for a picture of the man's son?" And not one person put up a paddle. "Can I get $30? Hey, man, we ain't come here for this man's picture. We came here for the Picasso. We came here for the Rembrandt. We came here for the property. We came here for the Lamborghinis. We came here for the Ferraris. Can I get $25 for a picture of the man's son? Man, well, how about the house in Paris? Can I get $15 for a picture of the man's son? Can we start talking about, again, this fine furniture that he had? Can we talk about the house in Miami? Can we talk about this 1957 Corvette that they only made two of? Can I get $10 for the man's son? Can we start talking about the good stuff and the stuff that we want and all the ones that we came here for? We thought that this was supposed to be some auction of all the man's fine stuff. Can I get $5 for the man's son? Not one person put up his hand. Can I get $4 for the man's son? Not one person put up their hand. Can I get $3? And finally somebody say, "Nah, dog it, I'll take it. For $3. If it takes buying the man's son for us to get to the good stuff, I'll pay $3 for the man's son." The man held up his paddle. Once, twice, three times, sold. The auction is over. Excuse me, Erica. What the hell you mean, the auction over? It's stipulated right here in the will. Whoever takes the picture of my son gets everything. Whoever takes the picture of my son gets everything. Whoever takes the picture of my son gets everything. I need one more witness that knows that if you take the man's son, you get everything. I need another witness that if you just take the man's son, you get everything. I got to go over to West Columbia right now, but I know one day I took the man's son, and because I took his son, anybody know his name? Anybody know his name? I ain't got enough time to call the roll, but I heard his name is Jesus, and because I took his son as my Savior, I got everything, and I ain't got to worry about a thing, because I got the son. Say it!